It was a cold, snowy evening back in January when I received a person-to-person call from Florida. We were entertaining some of our friends so that in the confusion I missed some of the first part of the conversation. The part I did get was the name, May Durham, We've Met, and California. I thought to myself, May Durham, May Durham. Who's May Durham? Then I heard, I thought you would like to know that drummer Hoff has been chosen as the Caldecott Medal book for 1968. This news came as such a surprise that the only thing I could think of to say was, how do you know? Needless to say, that since then I've found out who May Durham is and how she knew. I am, of course, honored, delighted, grateful, and petrified to be up here speaking to you tonight. Since the announcement of the Caldecott Award, my wife Barbara and I have often been asked about the preparation of drummer Hoff. How was the technique developed? What steps were taken to turn a simple folk rhyme into a picture book? How does the adaptation differ from the original? And surprisingly, what does it mean? The drawings in drummer Hoff are woodcuts. They were drawn on pine boards. All the white areas were cut away. Ink was rolled on the remaining raised surfaces and a set of prints was pulled on rice paper. The colors were added by using a technique I first tried in One Wide River. Although only three inks were employed, red, yellow, and blue, we were able to create the impression of 13 distinct colors. This effect was accomplished by taking advantage of the fact that the inks with which most picture books are printed tend to be transparent. Therefore, by printing one ink over the other, or overprinting, a third color is made. For instance, if blue ink is printed over yellow ink, the yellow ink shows through and turns the blue ink green. Blue ink printed over red makes purple, and so forth. A separate drawing has to be made for each of the three colors to show which color went over which color to make what color. Since both the method of making the black line drawings and the method of coloring them seem unnecessarily complicated and time-consuming, you may properly ask, why bother? Why didn't you just draw the pictures instead of carving them, and then just color them with watercolors and send them to the printer? Why I cut the pictures in wood instead of using a faster method like pen and ink drawing is hard to explain in a few words, but I suppose the most important reasons are that the pictures look better, and that the method pleased me. It is easier to explain why we decided to use that particular method of printing the color. The sharpness and brilliance of the color in drummer Hoff cannot be duplicated by any other practical printing process, including any four-color, full-color process. You may have guessed by now that there is more to illustrating a picture book than knowing how to draw pictures. To an illustrator, the picture on the drawing board is merely a means to an end. The end is the printed picture. An illustration could be described as a picture that can be printed. A good picture is a bad illustration if it cannot be printed well. And, of course, a bad picture is a bad picture, no matter how well suited it is to the printing process. I work in many different techniques when preparing illustrations. Woodcuts, pencil, pen and ink. But as varied as they are in appearance, they have one thing in common. The illustrations are meant to be printed. Although I'm primarily an artist and not a printing expert, the necessity to be both dreamer and realist is what fascinates me most about picture book making. The original rhyme from which drummer Hoff was evolved came from The Annotated Mother Goose by William S. and Seal Baring Gould. It's titled John Ball Shot Them All. The verse, which was about the making of the rifle, read as follows. John Patch made the match. John Clint made the flint. John Puzzle made the muzzle. John Chowder made the powder. John Block made the stock. John Brammer made the rammer. John Scott made the shot. And John Ball shot them all. In the adaptation, we first turned the rifle into a cannon to provide a more dramatic center of interest. This change led naturally to others. Military titles were substituted for the name John, since the gradations of rank from drummer to general accentuated the cumulative pattern of the book. Also, military uniforms provided the opportunity to make full use of the bright colors which the technique allowed. John Ball shooting them all did not seem an appropriate ending to the tale, and so the refrain was changed to Drummer Hoff fired it off. The name Drummer Hoff was selected instead of Private Hoff or John Ball because of its rich sound. And the kabablum was added just for fun and to give the book a good, strong climax. The verse now reads, General Border gave the order. Major Scott brought the shot. Captain Bammer brought the rammer. Sergeant Chowder brought the powder. Corporal Farrell brought the barrel. Private Parridge brought the carriage, but Drummer Hoff fired it off. The book's main theme is a simple one. A group of happy warriors build a cannon that goes kabablum. But there's more to find if you read the pictures. They show that men can fall in love with war and, imitating the birds, go to meet it dressed as if to meet their sweethearts. The pictures also show that men can return from war sometimes with medals and sometimes with wooden legs. The book can have two endings. Many people prefer to stop at the kabablum page, and for some purposes that is where the story should end. But others prefer to go on to the next page, which shows the cannon destroyed. The men have gone, and the birds and flowers that appear to be merely decorative through the first part of the book are in the process of taking over again. The picture of the destroyed cannon was purposely put on a half page to keep it in its proper place as a minor theme. The main theme of the book is, I repeat, a group of happy warriors building a cannon that goes kabablum. The book's primary purpose is, as it should be, to entertain. After I had been working less than 2 years as an artist, I started on my first children's book. I felt at that time if I could inherit $1 million on the condition that I stopped doing artwork of any kind, I could accept it with no regrets. As I started, I thought I was working at merely another job. Little did I know that I really had a tiger by the tail. For here I am, 8 years and 27 books later, not knowing who is the master, the art or the artist, and not caring. This change was brought about partially by the work itself and partially by the people I've met along the way. I speak for Barbara also when I say thank you. First of all, to the people at Prentice Hall, past and present, whose infectious enthusiasm provided us with the one thing all creative people need, momentum. And especially to Gene Reynolds, our editor, who gave us assistance, advice, and encouragement when we needed it. To Walter Ott and his staff for turning Drummer Hoff into a book in time, and for giving us their patient cooperation when we needed it. To Bob Barone and Mimi Caden, who gave us counsel and friendship when we needed it. And to Eunice Holsart, who gave us a push when we needed it. I would also like to thank Holt Reinhardt and Winston and Ani Hogrogian, Thomas Y. Kroll and Elizabeth Riley, and Doubleday and Blanche Van Buren for giving me work when I needed it. I would like to thank Little Brown and Company, Jean Bates and Helen Jones, who gave me a start when I needed it. Especially Helen, who once said to me, "Don't cheat the children. Give them your best. They deserve it." A piece of advice I've taken to heart and pass on at the slightest provocation. And I would like to thank the rest of you, whom we've met in person or through our books, for your interest and for your obvious goodwill. I wish to express my appreciation also to Mrs. Durham and the members of her committee. My personal feelings about the Caldecott Medal and the tradition and the people it represents are best expressed in a poem that has been haunting me since that cold January night. It's Robert Frost stopping by a woods on a snowy evening, and especially the last verse, which goes, "The woods are lovely, dark and deep, but I have promises to keep, and miles to go before I sleep, and miles to go before I sleep."